Welcome to the Face Rocker Podcast number 79, brought to you by Squarespace. This week, we sit down with Joey and Dez. We talk about a whole range of things, including, most importantly, the return of BattleBots and man versus machine. We have some very, very good ideas for BattleBots. I'm quite proud of them. Probably one of the funnier segments we've ever done. So look forward to that. We talk about Joey's podcast and this crazy ball pit video that we just put out, as well as the lens test and what's going on with the film school. It's all in all, real fun, interesting podcast, so I won't keep you from it. Let's go. Ah! Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another Face Rocker podcast. This time sponsored by our buddies over at Squarespace. A little more from them later on. To my left, I have Desmond Dolly.
Hey, everybody.
And to my right, joined by Joey Scombs, Joey Two Meals.
Well, I mean, I'm on their left, if from their point of view.
That is true. That is true.
Very astute observation.
But I don't know. I always get thrown off.
That's true. That's
you did say to your left.
Fine. Nobody's watching this. This is an audio medium. It's a theater of the mind, Joey. And I've constructed a beautiful stage upon which our listeners are constructing our presence, and you've gone ahead and just like confused that. So congratulations, well, Joey.
Sure. So inside their mind, just picture me on whatever side you okay.
And naked.
And naked.
Ah, now there goes all the both listeners.
No, that's for us. So
okay.
So we don't get stage fright.
Oh boy. This has been a crazy week. We're getting into it right now.
Man, it's nuts. I'm fried already, and we haven't even started shooting.
That is true. We're getting into our Hulu show. You know, I'm going to talk to old B. Waller and try and get you guys out there a copy of the trailer that we put up for that we played at the Hulu New Fronts presentation. We're going to have to look into that, and I'm going to try and get that for you. Give you a sense, a little teaser of what's to come. But yeah, we're in hard prep for it. So a lot of location scouting, a lot of tech scouts, a lot of going over the script, schedule, sides, personnel questions, art department,
casting
stunts.
Right now, so we had celebrities coming in and out, fighting each other tooth and nail over the best parts.
Did you see any said celebrities?
No, I didn't.
No.
Joe? No, they get put in through the back. They don't come through the front. Right.
They have their own separate little side door that we sort of funnel them through. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's what we're going. So pretty soon, not quite, not yet, but pretty soon I'm going to be less of a sultry voice on these podcasts here. But I'm sure Benji Dolly, podcast producer, will find so. You know,
I think we're gonna
replace me with Logan and watch the popularity of this podcast skyrocket.
Well,
Anyway,
the comments lead us to believe so. But we're actually gonna send Benji out into the field.
Yes,
and,
that's right.
Record a cast or two from the set.
Live from set. We do some field recordings, NPR style. We're real crazy operation here. Over here, Rocket Jump.
Ramshackle, I believe is the term.
is that the phrase?
Ramshackle. Yes.
Oh, boy.
Who?
So really quick. So His name is
Ram Shackle.
Yeah. I'll look him up.
Right.
Okay.
So this week, we film school in full swing. And one of the videos that I was very excited about got put up. We did a lens comparison where, because basically here's what it is. And Dez, I'm sure you've experienced this. All of us, we've experienced this on set where the DP is like, hey, we got to get on the primes. We got to get on these lenses. We got to rent these lenses.
We need the master primes.
Mm-hmm. And I'm of the opinion of most people, one, can't tell, and then like if 99% people can't tell, 99.999% of people don't care, and that's the audience side of things. That's really just kind of like, you know, making yourself feel better and giving yourself
a totally important test to have.
So the idea was to take the cheapest Canon lenses we could get, like the kit lenses that come with your camera, and put them head to head against $15,000 Zeiss German engineered prime lenses. And the funny thing about that—that
was an Arnold impression. He's not from Germany.
That's kind of my Herzog.
That was your Herzog.
Sorry. But he is German.
Bavarian. But here's the thing, right? So when you talk about
whatever,
they're all saying whatever. So when you talk about lenses, right? The thing that always throws me off is these, it's like there's this knowledge in the film world, right? And everyone's like, this is how it has to be done, and this is the best. And people seem to be a little bit miffed at even the idea of this test a little bit. They're like, of course you can tell. And then for those people who couldn't tell, because frankly, you can't, let's be honest, you can't, they would do things like, my favorite was in the comments, they'll be like, well, clearly A is sharper, B has a little more color contrast, and C is a softer lens. And then this is where I turn around and I go, yo, A, B, and C were different lenses every time. You just proved my point. I drop the mic and walk away. You know what I mean? But it's one of those things where you really can't tell. And it's like, and I would challenge you to even tell uncompressed.
I took the quiz. Oh, you did. And I got it wrong.
Yeah, what'd you get?
Oh, it was, I don't remember what my score was, but I was never right.
Never even close.
No, and I can't tell. Oh, actually, yeah, I fall under the category don't care.
I was so certain that the...
Oh, yeah, Joey actually can tell. Joey can tell from a glance exactly how much money is in that lens, but he just doesn't care. Yeah,
no exactly. idea. But I mean, the test... I guess people are trying to justify why they're scoring so low, and they go to the YouTube compression too. They say, it's been knocked down to a crappy YouTube compression.
Which is hilarious. Like,
well, that's how we're viewing most of our stuff anyway these days.
And let's back up for a second. When you say YouTube compression, what do you mean by that?
Well, I don't know what they mean by that.
Because here's my point.
That's their defense.
Because what they're saying is it's compressed. Okay, guess what? Everything's compressed. And mm-hmm. they say, well, Vimeo has better compression. No, it doesn't. What are you talking about?
Right.
Compression isn't some magical, it's a mathematical process. You know what I mean? It's not like Vimeo is going to be, what kind of comes down to is how much bandwidth you have and how much processing power you have. That's how good your compression can be. Let's see, Google has all the bandwidth in the world and all the storage in the world. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And in fact, actually real quick, I'm glad you're here, Joey. That should be our next film school video.
Which one?
YouTube versus Vimeo, what looks better?
Oh, boy.
Oh, that would be good, actually.
And I can prove, and I've done the tests, that they're literally pretty much exactly the same.
And people are listening right now going, I don't believe you. That's bull crap. That's because exactly Vimeo. Why you need to
exactly.
demonstrate.
This is my role.
The compression off.
This is my role in the film school, Joey.
All right.
And that's to take these long-established beliefs and crush these false idols into the ground under the weight.
You're starting a war here.
Of pure reason. What do you think about that?
I would like to see a follow-up to the lens comparison video, actually, because there still seems to be quite a bit of debate mm-hmm. and disbelief, and I would also like to see the instructors at the film school take these lenses through more paces.
Yeah,
I want to see shining because lights into the lenses and rack focusing,
right.
And you know, just some full on lens calisthenics.
And here's
and
the other
see exactly
one.
Exactly what we get out of it.
And here's the other one. Here's what I do want to see. The prevailing wisdom is a prime is always going to be better than a zoom lens.
Right.
That's the prevailing wisdom.
Especially, I want to see you guys shooting at a variation of stops. I want to see the lenses.
Yeah, so we
opened all the way up.
So we ran through a bevy. We ran through a bevy of real world scenarios. Mm-hmm. It was hilarious because there was one comment who was like, "Yeah, well, if you're just gonna shoot in the crappy outdoors, then of course
the crappy outdoors."
It's like, what are you talking about? A lot of the movies take place outside, bro.
Outdoors. Why are outdoors crappy? You're in front of the Pacific
it's like,
Ocean.
They'll fall apart when you put them in the studio. It's like, what are you talking about? Like movies like only get shot indoors. Yeah, it's like, what is
I agree, but that is a fair indoors. Point, though. What that comment says is people want to see these lenses under studio conditions
as
well.
And guess what?
Yeah.
I'll give it to them.
Yeah, I mean.
You want it?
We'll do any scenario now, and then we should follow it up within the YouTube mm-hmm. Vimeo thing, all in one. We open them up.
Yeah, and here's why, real quick. Here's my thought on that. At the end of the day, right? At the end of the day, I think a zoom lens, like a cheapo zoom lens, is going to be not really that much different than the most expensive prime. Nobody wants this message out there, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Now, there's reasons to have more expensive lenses. It's ease of use. Mm-hmm. It's the ability to have long focus pulls and do all that stuff. Those are all valid reasons. But that's not what people say when you say, well, let's get this lens over this lens. They're like, well, it's so much sharper. And it's like, what are you talking about? The contrast is so much better.
It's usually the complete opposite, right?
Yes.
These older lenses are far softer. The new cheap compacts are really sharp and crisp. And those are the ones, when I took the test, that I thought looked the best to me.
Yeah. And, you know, there may be an aesthetic thing.
Yeah.
But I think one of the funniest things that came out of all this was the people who were like, yeah, well, you know, if you get the older lenses, it's going to be so much better because they're just, it's like, what?
Wow.
It's like, this is an aesthetic thing. And then here's my favorite thing.
Well, go ahead.
Oh, well, here's my favorite thing with that. They're always like, well, you can't shoot movies on those, you know, on Canon so-and-sos. And I back up for a second. I just want to just to be clear. These are lenses that like award-winning, Pulitzer Prize-winning photographs have been shot on.
Yeah.
So your crappy student film is better than 20 years of New York Times best, you know, like,
you know these lenses are being used in feature films. You just went out and saw Avengers 2, and I guarantee you there were a lot of stunt cams that were like 5Ds and stuff like that equipped with compacts.
Who in the audience, like, I challenge anyone out there to be like, tell me which shots in Avengers were 5D shots. No, go ahead. Just go for it. Just tell me which ones. No.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to Mad Max because I hear they use a ton of GoPro stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because obviously, for obvious reasons, they can mount that anywhere.
Absolutely.
And to get even broader, what we've just proven is it's not about the lens. It's not like, because it's all about the story. And going back to high school, when I first saw 28 Days Later, I was like, what? They shot this on an X01? What's an X01? Yeah. And then they started attaching cinema lenses to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Which in turn made the camera a little bit more look like a film camera, but it maintained this different aesthetic that I wasn't familiar with. But again, it just, at the end of the day, who cares? Like, it was a great movie, and it's about how you use the lens.
Every lens is a different paintbrush.
Yes.
You know, they're a tool, and it is important to understand what stroke you're going to get when using said tool. Mm-hmm. And that's it. It's not a matter of what's better or what's worse.
And for the most
they're
part,
just different.
And for the most part, all those paintbrushes are the same. Anyway, so for those of you who are skeptical about what we're talking about here, head on over to youtube.com/RJFilmSchool or school.rocketjump.com. We have the video there. You take the test yourself. Prove your visual acuity to your peers and your loved ones, because so far, I don't think anyone's done very good at all on the test. Anyway,
yeah,
I'm very excited about it. Another thing I'm actually excited for, and I tell you about this, I was looking because we've been trying to do, I want to do the world, like a Guinness World Record longest Hitchcock zoom.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that'd be great.
The vertigo.
Like the vertigo zoom. Yeah. But like, what's the physical, and it's Canon came out just like last, it's supposed to be this year, but they have a 50 to 1,000 millimeter lens.
Yeah.
Like,
what was that built for?
I assume it's 4K sports. I assume it's like sports photography.
Oh, right.
If you're like on the sidelines and you need to go way in. But 50 is like a reasonable lens. But
right.
1,000?
Sure.
So I don't know. We're gonna try to figure out how that goes. Anyway.
Tracking a golf ball down the fairway type of shot.
Oh, that might be bad. That might be bad. Anyway, so that's us with the film school lens comparison. We're doing the Hulu show. Last weekend, big deal. I didn't go to this. Did you go to this? Pacquiao fight? Everyone was at the office.
We watched it here, yeah.
I'll be honest with you. Couldn't care less about boxing.
Oh, man.
This was supposed to be the fight to change that.
That's what I've been hearing. That's how it was billed, right?
Yeah.
The fight of the century was what I heard for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
What? I don't know. I don't get it. I don't know anything about boxing.
I
can't really speak to it.
So. I remember these fighters when I was a kid. They're still around. I was like, okay, I'll check this out again. Yeah.
I don't know. I remember Mike Tyson was a big deal. I watched Mike Tyson when I was a kid. That's it.
You know the problem? Here's the problem. Okay.
What?
Is that the world has been exposed to World Star and MMA. And you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a violent world. You got videos of beheadings, and you have videos of fights in the streets and police brutality and MMA's no holds barred, people getting knocked out, breaking their legs. Like, it's brutal, crazy brutal. And boxing, by comparison, is now this almost tame sport. It's almost like this, like, It's like a pornography riddled public is exposed to like a 1940s burlesque show. It's like, that's it. This is what was titillating. That's it. It's just a bunch of people dancing up and down. Yeah. That's it. Like, I've seen so much crazier stuff in my time.
I've been thinking about this a lot. I actually told Benji a little bit about it. I can only imagine the way boxing has changed in the last 100 years and how, by far, it's just become more about the sponsors and more about like making money and selling ringside tickets,
like,
as opposed to like
most things,
some dudes down
society
on the docks in the 20s who actually just beat the crap out of each other.
Biff.
Yeah.
Biff.
And I was like that sport has long
been
gone.
Well, that's kind of like Kimbo Slice, right? It was almost like he was almost like it was such a different take on, because it was essentially boxing, but it was bare knuckle, right? Was what
bare
he was
knuckle,
doing.
I believe, yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't he give boxing or MMA a try? Isn't that correct, Benji? Was it MMA, Kimbo?
He didn't do
try?
So hot.
No, he
I
got
believe.
The.
Yeah, he didn't do so hot. No. But, you know, I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, there's a lot of just weird stuff. And I think a lot of people really got behind this fight because, like, Floyd Mayweather is, like, a demonstrable POS, like, he's piece a, of shit. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Right. And, like, Pacquiao, on the other hand, is like, he's like a mayor.
I don't know anything about.
Yeah, he's going to run for president.
Like, you know that he retires, like, holds local office in the Philippines.
That's
and stuff?
Incredible.
Yeah.
Like, he's like full on, not only a like good person, like a hero to an entire country.
For sure.
Like, came from the bottom, like got elected. He's like a mayor now.
Just,
like,
just humbled.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, he's like totally good dude. And then, like, Mayweather. Yeah, anyway, so there was a lot of that going on.
Mm-hmm. I don't really understand the rules. That's one of the reasons why I never got into boxing. I mean, beyond the knockout or the TKO.
Well, so it's a point-based thing. So it's like it's about how many punches you throw, how many you land, successfully land, mm-hmm. and how many, like, power punches you throw and how many of those land. And there's a whole tally system. Like, the judges, that's
but
what
I feel
doing.
Like it's always rigged, right? Isn't it?
Well, there's
it
three
like
judges.
It
so the idea is
like
three,
on point.
Well, but the idea is there's three judges sitting there, like, making check marks the mm-hmm. whole time and be like, okay, he punched 40 times and 30 of those, in my estimation, counted. You know, and
got
those
it.
Three. That's what they mean when they say split decision means, like, a judge didn't agree with the other ones in terms mm-hmm. of the.
I gotcha.
But at the end of the day, it's just that.
But when you say rigged, are you do you mean, like, hey, you're going down in the fifth type of guy? Like, that there's some behind the scenes dealings going
so.
On
when
still.
You're dealing with that kind of money that
oh,
has
yeah.
to happen.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I'll put it this way. I guarantee you, like, because there's been examples of Tyson fights back in his prime, which was pay-per-view, everyone got paid money for it, and then, like, it was done in 10 seconds. Like, he just knocked mm-hmm. the guy out. And there's, you know, so I guarantee you, for something like this, they're like, yeah, let's try and make, you know, that's why
it last.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. But I think it's one of those things where boxing had this moment where it was like, hey, maybe people... And no, everyone's saying now, oh, right, this is boring.
Yeah.
Somehow more boring than golf.
That's too bad.
Really? Is it, though? Is it? Because let's back up for a second. Let's talk about sports. Do you feel like... There's a part of me that's like... There's just... It's like MMA is like glorified blood sport. Like, it's like dudes just like...
I don't get into MMA either.
I mean, but there's something like...
Blood sport. Whoa.
Blood sport.
That's
a
true.
Let's
back
I
mean,
up.
Let me back
totally
up.
Get into
I completely,
like,
I completely
that's
take
awesome.
That. Yeah, it's true. You're right. You're right. But there's like, yeah, there's like this certain level of, like, I don't know. It's like, there's something about, like, this whole thing where, like, yeah, we're just going to, it just ties into this weird, like, machismo. We're going to watch these dudes, like, wail on each other in the octagon and mixed martial arts and, like, tap out shirts and, like, just like bro culture. And it's like, I don't know, man. Do we really need it?
No, of course we don't need it.
It's
we don't
our
need,
culture.
We don't need 99% of the crap that we have.
It's our culture clinging on to that, like, barbarian, like, gladiator mentality where you put some people in a ring and you
yeah, but like,
see
let me put it this way. Like, and maybe this is the answer. Battle bots are coming back.
Battle bots?
Sick robots. You know
yes!
what I'm saying?
I don't know why that's coming back. I thought that
you
was,
don't know why.
Come on.
No,
come
why?
On,
Dez. Because have you, wait, okay, back
did
up.
Did you watch BattleBots?
Yeah, I watched BattleBots. It's boring.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Yeah, sorry,
you
guys.
Didn't see the Shredder?
Come on.
Clearly.
But, like,
you
always the wedge. There's always
the
boring the wedge.
Okay,
bot
let's back up. Let me
that
back
would
up.
Flip a guy over.
Yeah.
Would be the winner.
Let's back up. Let's back up.
I want the bot with 12 circular saws
right.
spinning in all different directions.
They had that.
I know, but they never win.
No.
That
no,
bot
right,
is completely
right,
inefficient.
Yeah. You're right.
The intimidation factor doesn't work on another robot.
No, you're right. Yeah. You're right. No. You know
it's
what?
It's always math bot.
So I think
3.4 wins again.
I love that the wedge would win.
Yeah.
Parabola
bot takes another title.
Wedge bot versus parabola bot. We'll see which one is lower to the ground.
Yeah.
And it looks like, once again, see, wedge bot with its 0.3 millimeter ground clearance comes away the victor.
Yeah.
As it's able to physically get under the other bot and lift it so that it is rendered inoperable. The crowd goes wild as wedge bot lifts.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's like, as wedge bot lifts Kilgasmo into the air four inches.
Kilgasmo.
Kilgasmo.
Oh, Kilgasmo.
The corner, Kilgasmo's corner is just real look of disappointment on their faces there. They really should not have, they should have anticipated the fact that a bot could be so thin and so basic, and they're throwing in the towel now.
Every fight was like that.
You're right. Actually, you know what? You're right. But, like, okay, to be fair, I think they're going to try and change that. But tell me you didn't, like, as a kid, be like, man, if I could make a battle bot and come up with a battle. Like, what was your battle bot?
Oh, what? Man, it would have to have two of everything, you know.
It has a wedge. Redundancy bot enters the ring.
Redundancy bot. It has to have a wedge on the front, because clearly that's always the winner, the little flip tech,
you know,
so you can wedge underneath it, flip the guy onto his back, and then it's got some sort of rad, like, metal cutting chainsaw.
Yeah.
So we can go up and deal the death blow.
There you go.
Slice through their
gut. It's got to, knock them out.
What was your bot, Joey?
Well, it had to be able to operate or flip over on both sides.
It would have to work.
No, it would have to have some good armor, but if it does get flipped, it has to be able to either right itself or be able to operate upside down.
Oh, yeah, I do recall. I do recall there was an ambidextrous bot back in the day.
Yeah, the dual bot.
Yes.
And I'd put my money on anything
the
that could
yin-yang.
Flip over.
Yes, yes. Mm. Yin-yang versus wedge bot.
I don't want to stop you from doing your thing, but I have a theory now that the arena in which BattleBots take place is a fun place. It's like a playground of death.
Yeah,
and maybe that's what is missing from the sport of boxing.
Lions
in the corner?
Instead of the
style?
Ropes, they put spikes. Instead of the corners, they have like a chainsaw blade.
Circular saws that pop up through the floor.
Exactly.
Real quick. Chess, not really even a sport, but man has fought machine.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Boxing?
That's conflict.
Floyd Mayweather versus Killbot. Like, I want to see that. I'd pay-per-view the hell out of that.
That's the next Rocky movie.
Oh, man.
That would be great.
Because they'll turn Stallone into a robot.
Yeah. Now you're talking. BattleBots.
He has to fight.
Merge with real boxing.
He has to fight 8 Kuka arms. But here's the concession.
Uh-huh.
He can use as many performance altering drugs as he needs.
Absolutely. There's no drug testing whatsoever, and the show is executive produced by Vincent Kennedy McMahon of the World Wrestling Entertainment.
A man
business.
Who truly understands entertainment.
Exactly. Showmanship. Come in and put a slick gloss of showmanship all over that sucker.
Yep.
Watch. It's Floyd Mayweather versus Wedgebot. Wedgebot drives aggressively at his ankles. He's tripped Mayweather. He's down for the count.
Mayweather has gone down for the first time in history.
Looks like Wedgebot managed to just get under his shoes there. Because in my head, like, by the way, like, part of BattleBots was also just the idea of, like, just because it really did, you're right. It really just ended up as wedges driving at each
wedges.
Other really fast.
Yeah.
But it actually gave me this idea. I remember, like, sort of like thinking about that and driving one day and being like, if I had, like, if my car, right, from the roof of my car to the front was just this long, like, 10-degree wedge, and then just, like, barely over the ground, and then the back was the same way.
Yeah.
In fact, just all the way around. Like, you know when you go mini-golf, there's that red, like, little volcano cone, like, hole sometimes?
Sure.
You have to putt it, you have to uphill into the thing?
Mm-hmm.
That, but as a car. And I was like, if you had that, no one would ever get in an accident with you. Because if they were coming in too hot from behind, they just roll right up over you.
They have that. It's called a snowplow. Right?
Yeah, that's true. But like they would just roll right up. Or alternately, they would just get air off of your ramp. Just had this vision of just like driving through traffic, just like cars just like flailing about. Like, man, that'd be great.
I want to see you attach a snowplow thing to the front of your minivan and then just see you get to work leaving.
Just volunteer on the weekends. Never, since it doesn't snow out here.
Right.
Yeah.
Just have it.
I really like the idea of Wedgebot. Like, I was just thinking right now about, like were there Wedgebot groupies? Was he, like, too cool for school?
Yeah,
like, were there sick Wedgebot shirts?
Yeah, but but they were 47-year-old, like, high school mathematicians. You know?
Like, the triangle is clearly the most powerful form.
See, I told you, kids, and you told me I'm just another dumb geometry professor.
But look, looks like trigonometry wins again, kids.
They would do that, though. I mean, I didn't really get too into the BattleBots Underground, but they had like a Real Steel type of, you know, father-son story.
Did you
going
see Real
on.
Steel?
Yeah, Real Steel was great.
Yeah.
Did you see Real Steel?
No, but I know of it.
I really enjoyed Real Steel, and there's one detail in Real Steel that like made it because they didn't have this, it went from could have been a classic to just a, you know, good solid movie,
mm-hmm.
where it's the kid and they go and they're in the arena, right? And then the battle bots, like, they're underneath, like, you know, like in the hallways, and like, I forget what the name of the main bot is, like, walking, and he has his, and he's got, and, you know, underneath, you know, to the fight, and the kid's like, you know, oh my gosh, like, you know, taking pictures, but he has a posse with him, mm-hmm. right? And the problem is the posse is human. Like, the battle bot's right. going, and he's got, like, a bunch of, like, people, like, taking notes and, like, doing all that stuff, and it's, like, the boxing posse. But Who's they're all human.
Why are they taking notes?
No, it's like they're like the scientists, like, you know, calibrating himself. Okay. And I was like, how much better would that have been if his boxing posse was also robots?
Right.
Because as he's going by, like, there's a guy who's just like, hey kid, and he throws him like a shirt with like the BattleBots like face on it. And the kid's like, oh my gosh. But it's like, how much better is that character who throws the kid like the shirt if it was a robot? Just like, hey kid, and then like, throws it. It's just like a robot, like a hype robot that just throws t-shirts into the crowd.
Hype-bot.
And I couldn't stop thinking about like what a missed opportunity that was. Where it's like, man, they could have had his whole crew be robots and just rolled out. And just this like gang of robots roaming this arena, throwing t-shirts to their fans. I was like, I would have. And I just that soured the movie. That soured the movie a little bit for me.
All right.
Because it was just humans.
I like to think that that is the only thing that made it from not being a great film.
Yeah, that was what held it back. That's exactly the only thing.
Yeah, that's the one.
Oh boy!
Great.
Anyway, so Bloodsport. Let's get more robots. I want to see the Deep Blue Kasparov match, but in boxing form, in fisticuffs. I just want to see a man pummeling a machine as sparks fly and engineers in white lab coats flip out in the background. Is that too much to ask?
No, not at all. I mean, there's a niche for everything, right?
I think that's what this world needs.
I look forward to it. I want to see some more BattleBots. I feel like it was short-lived. I want to go out to Treasure Island.
Real quick, what would you name your BattleBots team, Joey?
Oh, my BattleBots team?
Mm. Yeah.
My team or my bot?
Both.
Oh, okay. God. Des, you go first.
No, shit, I don't know.
Mine will be...
There, you go first.
Killgasm.
Killgasm?
And it'll be Team Isosceles, and Killgasm is actually just a wedge robot.
See, this is why nobody watched BattleBots.
Killgasm.
This is why BattleBots failed, and I can't understand who thought it was a good idea to bring this back.
I heard it's going to be more of a reality show, too. They're going to be like, go into the lives
that
of
makes
everyone.
Sense.
Yeah.
I figured mine out. Okay, here it is.
Go. Yeah.
All right. It has to fit with my personality.
Fair.
And nothing better fits that than Sack of Hammers. And let me describe...
Okay.
Then let me describe...
Yes, please do, Joey.
Let me describe my dream bot here. Okay, so... So, picture this. Picture a bot with like a weird sort of... like a sperm whale style mouth.
All right.
That sort of fed into like a lawnmower bag. Right?
Okay.
So it would just sort of run around the theater scooping up people, capturing it in its bag, and then it would have a sledgehammer on the back of it as like a tail, like a
scorpion's
tail.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a sledgehammer. So it would capture its prey in the bag,
right,
and then smack in the sack.
Oh,
and
that's
then smack it with a hammer.
That's just, cool. And tie it off. Hammers. So it would tie off whatever bot inside the bag and close it off.
Yeah.
And then just beat it with hammers.
Combat Robot Hall of Fame.
Do they have a sack of hammers?
Benji's pulled up the Combat Robot Hall of Fame. What's the number one? Who's the greatest, most...
Biohazard.
I've heard of Biohazard.
A robot named
the Chin Killer.
Mm-hmm.
The Chin Killer.
I remember these.
They had better names than... Because there's something about, like, you know what?
Dr. Inferno Jr.
There's something to be said for having the bot just called Wedgebot, and everyone's like, God, not again. Wedgebot, like, seriously? Really? We have to go against, hey, guys, did you see the ladder? See the ladder of the turn? We're going up against Wedgebot in round one.
Oh,
might as well just go home to Topeka now.
More of these wedges. I would make a completely useless bot and call it Tony or something like that. It would just go out there and it would just look like a head mounted on like two little feet with two little hands, and it would just kind of like dance around the ring, get the shit kicked out of it. They're like, okay, Tony wasted our time.
Oh,
Tony didn't even try.
Like the head should be like ballistic gel. So when it gets pummeled, it's like really graphic.
Oh, it splits open
like,
and all this goo pours out of it.
It's
like,
whoa, guys.
Yeah.
No
Wedgebot just murdered Tony.
It has no attack or defense.
Yeah.
It's just neutral. It's just a robot.
Completely neutral.
It's just spatula bot, which is just a spatula with a giant weight at the other end. And if you got on that flat surface, you were getting flipped.
Oh, yeah, like the Mario. Remember in Mario 64, that spatula thing that would flip you?
Because in my head there's a really fun like series here where it's like spatula bot. It's like, who are we up against first round? pancake bot. We got this shit in the bag.
Pancake bot. That's like, crazy because I was just thinking the exact same thing.
Pancake bot.
Yeah, but it's not a flat bot. It's just a hot plate like on wheels.
It's just
burning a stack of hot flapjacks. Tony and Pancake Bot just smacking into each other.
You know, it has an arm that comes out and dispenses maple syrup on top of it.
But
it's like, oh yeah, the maple syrup arm. Clearly, that's gonna get in the gears and rotors of other bots. No. It's just for its own self. It's just to like spray maple syrup onto itself.
Whenever it enters the pit, you just flip over the cake.
I've come full circle. I think BattleBots could be a total blast.
Yeah,
people are allowed to get really nuts with it.
I mean, I'm willing to make our own. I mean, these are our dream bots that we should do this at Rocket Jump. We should have a BattleBot week.
You want to be the ultimate bot?
And
like you tell okay, me. If this is your team, would have to do a lot of work to get this done.
Okay,
but you call it. I don't know what you would call it, but the bot would basically be like, what you do is this. Okay, you find out who you're up against, and then the night before, you figure out like what hotel those guys are staying in, and you steal all their phones and iPods and like iPads, and then you use their stuff as armor for your bot. So the guy's
that's
driving.
The worst idea so the guy, I've
so,
ever
so
heard.
You go on. That's like, that's my phone. Like, we can't damage this bot.
No, they took a picture of my mother and I out of my wallet and attached it to the bot.
No. It's because the person driving it has thousands of dollars of their electronics at stake.
Of course.
Right?
Yes.
I get it.
It's the equivalent of throwing a fight, but in a robot world, you know? What do you guys think?
I think we should go get a... BattleBots is coming back.
Yes.
We need to find out how Rocket Jump gets sponsored by BattleBots.
Yes, I know.
Joey?
Yeah.
I really like your bag of hammers design.
Chief Engineer.
Yeah,
I think any saw blade would cut through it, but I mean, but it's still the dream.
I mean, maybe we can mount my Tony head on top of it.
Oh, good.
If your tote's cool with that, we'll just merge those two ideas.
Well, Tony's head should be surrounding the sledgehammer so that it actually
or the sledge is encased with Tony's head.
Oh, my God.
It's Tony headbutting all the other bots.
Yes. Okay.
You know what, real quick, you know what would get this show ratings to the roof?
What?
Is if it's like the showdown of the century. Paperbot versus scissors bot, and then Paperbot somehow wins. Like people would go nuts.
I don't know.
I
don't know if they would.
I thought you said pay per bot. Like it was people would be in demand to see a certain bot, not like paper.
I got you.
Paper.
We should
okay,
go.
Pay-per-view.
We should take a break
paper
and bot? Go yeah. put plans together to build a Rocket Jump bot.
All right, keep an eye out for the Team Rocket Jump on BattleBots this season. We're going to be killing it.
You guys should comment below and let us know.
Oh, good bot
the
names.
The ultimate bot.
Yeah, good right. bot
what
names.
What should we put on this thing?
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll be back in just a second. See you in a bit. You know, the first website I ever built, I did it in Dreamweaver 1.0. It was embarrassing. It was a Star Wars site, and what it was just pictures of Star Wars. Like Star Wars pictures, just links to that. That was the whole site. Had an under construction GIF too. So like when you got to it, you'd be like, oh, hey, is this all there is? No, there's could be more. There's going to be more Star Wars GIFs coming our way. That was the whole site. I made some very questionable design decisions at the ripe age of 13. And I wish back then I had what I have now, which is Squarespace. Squarespace is the easiest and best way to create a professional looking website for whatever it is you want to do. Blog, online store, company site, personal site, demo reel. You know, if you're a film professional and trying to get yourself out there and you need to get something online that looks good and just works, Squarespace is the answer for you. Because when you make a website nowadays, there's a lot of stuff you got to think about. You got phones, you have tablets, you have different interfaces, different resolutions, different computers, browsers. It's a nightmare to get everything coded right to make sure it looks right on every single possible thing that someone's going to look at your website on. And not to mention, on top of all that, who has time for that? You're going to spend all this time coding. You're not going to spend time making yourself a good-looking website. And that's where Squarespace comes in. Simple drag-and-drop interface. It's only $8 a month, and you can get a domain with it for free if you buy Squarespace for the year. Every site comes with an online store, so if you're selling something, you got some commerce, you want some e-commerce you want to be doing, super easy to use. It's fantastic drag-and-drop interface, 24/7 support. Listen, there's lots of ways to make a website. You can do it the hard way and, you know, spend hours making sure, trying to make it look right. Or you can just go the easy way, make it look professional right from the get-go. Worry about other things. Worry about running your business. Worry about getting stuff for that demo reel with Squarespace. And if you head over to Squarespace and use the offer code FACERocker, FACERocker will get you 10% off of your first purchase, and you'll be supporting the podcast. Support Squarespace because they support us. We love them, and there's no better place to make a website. So what are you waiting for? Get out there. Get a good website. Impress all your friends, family, with how sick your site is. Squarespace.com. Use the promo code FACERocker. Welcome back, everybody, as Dez gets a little more comfortable.
I'm getting situated.
Joey here, you sound like you have a little bit of time behind the mic. Is that right?
Yeah.
Got a little experience here?
I've been. Can you ask me again?
I was trying to.
Right. Did we throw you?
I wasn't ready.
I was trying to be smooth.
Dez got comfortable and I got distracted. I was like, maybe I should get more comfortable.
I was trying to be smooth, but here's the thing. Joey and
my partner in crime?
Your partner in crime.
Mike James.
Yeah. Have been doing a podcast of their own called A Long Walk with Mike and Joey.
Yeah.
And. Well, tell me about the premise for it. Tell me about the premise.
That's pretty much it. We go on a long walk, and our podcast takes place where we walk places talking about thinking and life and using our feet around, you know, the world.
And so, Dez, you're laughing over there. I actually took the time to listen to this podcast.
Yeah, right.
Because otherwise, I'm not going to plug anything I don't personally endorse. Right.
Exactly. That's a good policy.
It's a fun podcast, man.
Yeah.
It's a fun podcast.
Thanks, man.
Okay, so what happened on this podcast? Like, Freddie, give us your idea.
Because here's what it is. There's a goal at the get-go. It's like they tell you where they're going, and like, and you get to kind of hear the journey, and it's sort of a meandering, fun walk. But here's what it does, right?
Right.
You ever notice like when you go like camping, and you guys like just sitting around the campfire? It's like usually it's a good... It's a conversation that you usually just don't have around the campfire, right?
Absolutely.
Because it's a context. It's like you're sitting there, you're more relaxed, you're staring at a fire. Everyone kind of gets in a spot, and it's kind of weird. So this really kind of it's an interesting conversation always, right? Mm-hmm. In the same vein, when you're not sitting around the couch with microphones and you're just like walking around and navigating traffic on the way,
yeah.
It's a different type of conversation you have.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And it's really, I don't know, it's really interesting. And sometimes you'll hear like snippets of people and there's a great moment in the first episode where you guys like stop to like ask a stranger their opinion.
Oh
about
yeah. Just on their own walk.
You're talking about, you know,
yeah.
And it's like, hey, what do you think? And then just all of a sudden this voice just comes out, you know, I think it should be this way. Yeah. Right. And then they just kind of keep moving, yeah. Which is like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah. No, it definitely has a sort of atmospheric vibe to it. It is sort of a radio play. You could put it on and then close your eyes and then you're on Sunset Boulevard with us or you're at the racetrack with us. And
where's the last place you went?
Last place we went was the zoo, and we both hate the zoo, and we were hungover at the time, and and we had actually bet on the Pacquiao fight. Whoever lost the fight paid for the other person's ticket to the zoo.
Oh, great.
Was that fight going on as you were recording?
No. That happened the night before.
Ah,
and
I
so
see, I
so
see.
Yeah. And it what happens is it's not edited. We're just on a one take improvised, just casual conversation. Uh-huh. We talk about whatever happens to us or whatever we're thinking about at the time, and it feels very organic, and it's called A Long Walk because we are physically walking, and we often just end up on tangents.
Right.
So
yes,
we start in a place and we tangent off, and then somehow this might happen, this might not. We'll tie it back into whatever we were talking about. In a weird bow.
So are you recreating the casual conversation between two bros on a long walk?
No, it just is two bros.
Even better.
Yeah.
Even better.
Yeah, it's just two bros.
So
walking.
You guys don't come in with any agenda.
No, we've actually tried this. We tried having a written agenda and it didn't work.
Right.
You could tell.
So it's better you just both happen to meet each other up.
Yeah.
And you happen to have microphones.
Yeah.
I kind of do.
Mike James and I have a certain just... musical back and forth
rhythms.
Vocabulary. Yeah. Yeah. So we're often thinking about the same thing like moments after we've thought it. So then it just starts to spill out. Like we finish each other's sentences type of stuff.
Nice.
And our sentences are usually
awesome.
It's stupid wisdom.
Okay.
You know, it's not something that I wouldn't call us idiots, but we don't, but we're also not.
I stop just short of idiot.
Yeah. We also don't know how to put into words these larger things in life that we learn about. And it's fun. So, I mean, just check it out.
Yeah, it's a good time. Where is it? Where can we find it?
It's we just switched from iTunes to SoundCloud because SoundCloud, thank you SoundCloud, you mirror to iTunes. So whenever we upload on SoundCloud now, it'll show up in iTunes. So
sick.
That's very helpful.
So both places, SoundCloud, iTunes, A Long Walk with Mike and Joey. How long is each episode?
It depends on our journey. It
depends on how long the walk is, yeah, right?
It comes in around 30 minutes.
I want you to do one where you guys walk like downtown LA at like 2 a.m.
We're doing art walk tomorrow night.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, that could be good. But yeah. No, I think what Freddie's getting at is like
deserted
the most
downtown.
Dangerous street in America. And you guys got to walk down it.
We talked about
dead
that.
Dead of night.
We were talking about doing like a Compton, South Central, something like that journey, but we want to go run with the bulls before we do anything else.
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah, okay. We wanted like...
Could you imagine an entire podcast episode as you're running from the bulls?
That's great.
That would be incredible.
Yeah.
You just hear yourself just eating shit.
Yeah. Oh, God, Mike just went down. A bull took his pants off.
Anyway.
He's a man, though. He's now a man, officially. He touched a bull.
Oh, man.
So
for okay.
We want to do a Rose Bowl flea market and start haggling.
That'd be great.
Yeah, we want to do all these. We have all these things in the pipeline here.
I really like these high concept podcast ideas. We gotta try a couple.
You get like waterproof mics, so you can go to a water park.
Golfcast.
That's true. We've been still experimenting with it. I think we have the last piece, and I figured it out. But anyway, but yeah, man, high concept podcast, man. That's gonna be the next thing. That's gonna be the future of entertainment, right there.
Yeah, I hope so.
So anyway. Moving on. For those of you out there watching, it should be a Friday that you're listening or watching this. This is when it's coming out. Let's cross our fingers.
The plan is.
We just put out a video. It's the culmination, the ball pit video that
we've mentioned 10,000 times. Because it's been in play for the last, 6 months?
And hopefully now as you see it, you realize why it's been talked about for so long, because it's such a long video. But it's our sort of Roman Atwood collaboration. He very graciously sold us some ball pit balls,
a quarter million
ball pit balls. And really quick, we were a little worried, I'm going to be honest, before this video came out, because last week, Funny or Die, on their Twitter, put out a picture of their conference room filled with balls. And they said, they're like, we have 60,000 balls. and we were looking around like, oh no.
Oh crap. Someone's going to beat us to the punch and do a ball pit.
Another ball pit ball.
It looks like
office ball pit video.
And as far as I can tell, based on their site, it looks like what they did there. They did a little photo series, like a photo gif series. Which is almost worse, because that means that they were able to spend what we know how much 60,000 balls cost on almost a whim. To just be like, hey, wouldn't it be funny if we just fill this up and then give us a good time?
Took some pics.
It's okay. It happened.
That's harsh, man.
I know.
But we got a ball pit video out. John's been sort of toiling at a lot of sort of crazy visual effects. It was, I'm literally, real quick, just for those of you listening at home, I'm literally staring off to the left here, and there is a plastic green ball
they're everywhere.
in the corner of our new office space.
It came over there.
Yeah. Like, somehow they followed us, and I feel like we're never going to get Roman's balls. Out of our wait, hold on, no, hold on.
Yeah, start
erase
over.
That. Somebody, quick, hold on. Sorry, Benji, you got.
Take it back, strike that, reverse it.
Oh man. So the ball pit video
finally
is out there.
No, I'm
freaking
out.
Our ball pit opus.
You know what we need to do too is we need to. The plan right now, we're talking to you actually as we're finishing it up. The plan is to give it a real clickbaity title, a real BuzzFeedy title, and like a real clickbaity thumbnail, with the hopes to trick people into watching this 20-minute-long video. Mm-hmm. But we're trying to put together some stuff here. There's gonna be some more stuff coming out hopefully this month. Some videos in the vein of old times, right before we get into the thick of the Hulu show. And actually, real quick, just now to mention the Hulu show, I'm not sure people understand or know this. The format of this show is going to have 8 shorts. It's going to be like crazy big, like action rocket jump shorts. And those are going to be coming out on YouTube, and you will be able to see these. And the Hulu show goes into much more depth, and you'll be able to see stuff early, on the Hulu side. But like, we're going to, you know, kind of get back into doing some of these, I guess, sketches, short films, probably is a better word for it. And we got some really cool stuff, some real, like, just crazy, crazy nut stuff in terms of scale. And in terms of writing and scale and production value, and it'll be unlike anything you've ever seen up until this point. But
sorry, I feel better now.
Oh, sick.
Thanks, Joey.
You're the only one with headphones. I realized that.
Yeah,
that
it's just I heard it, and everyone at home heard it all the way through.
Oh, right.
Okay. So that's that. Hulu show's going. Ball Pit video's up. Hopefully more videos out coming this week. What are you doing this weekend, Joey?
Oh, I mean, are we done talking about those things? Those are huge.
I mean, do you have anything left to say?
Do you have anything to add? Any crazy Ball Pit video stories?
Oh, I don't know. I just, I was like, is Freddie just underselling like how awesome these things are?
Tired? It's an epic, man. It's huge.
So epic. These things are crazy.
Did you ever like Ball Pits when you were a kid?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, really? It was
never liked it. Like at McDonald's, like you'd go and like, I never liked them, man.
Oh, man, they're a blast.
It was always gross.
Yes, I agree. But
gross. Like, even I knew it was gross, man.
That's
the last time you're in the ball pit.
I was a gross kid.
When you're mature enough to realize how gross and germ-ridden it is, I'm climbing out and I'm never coming back. But until then, it's a blast.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
So okay. My dad had shown me Die Hard when I was way too young.
Yeah.
So I was climbing up the stairs to get into a ball pit, and I was with my aunt Lisa at the time, and you know, I was climbing up the stairs, but I'm like 3 years old. I don't know how to like freaking use stairs. So I was like going,
Do you remember this?
I've been told this back, but it took place at a McDonald's ball pit.
Wait. You watched Die Hard when you were 2 years old?
Maybe I had overheard it. And when my dad was watching or something, but I had heard it, and they blame it on Die Hard.
Okay, happened?
So I'm climbing up this ladder, and this like Angelica. If I'm Tommy Pickles, Angelica, the older, bigger little girl, is behind me, going like, "Hurry up!" And I just turn around to her, and I am told that I said, "Suck my dick."
at three years old.
and she started crying and ran off and told her mom.
Wow.
And her mom told my Aunt Lisa, who she thought was my mom. And then my Aunt Lisa told my mom, and then I got in trouble. But I didn't get in trouble because my dad probably got in trouble, and now they're divorced.
Whoa.
Sorry.
That's not where I expected that story to go. I thought it was going to tie in the ball pit balls in some way.
I had to paraphrase the rest of my life.
Instead, it was the story of your parents splitting.
That story took a pretty hard left turn.
I've only done
Joey.
That once, one other time, and it was, and so I haven't played that. Throw in a random make everyone feel uncomfortable card.
Whoa, that's a wow, man.
Hey, I'm sorry.
Didn't see that one coming. Dez, did you see that one? No,
Joey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
No, I'm not asking for sorry. I was like, obviously, I use comedy to, you know, mask something that's really deep. And,
oh my God. Oh my God.
I won't keep going. I'm done.
So
I don't want
to. Look
how
uncomfortable Freddie is right now. He's just speechless.
Freddie
doesn't want to address any of this right now.
I put you guys in that situation on purpose. I've done that a few times.
Oh, that's great.
I get my kicks out of it.
Oh, it's great.
We're all over it.
Well, clearly, you're okay with it.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Oh, he fell off a cliff. He's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
No, that's from Happy Gilmore when he gets dumped by his girlfriend.
He's dead.
Oh, right.
You know, my girlfriend's dead, you know. She fell off a cliff and died on impact. That's very nice.
That's very nice. Yeah.
Okay, so.
Dez, do you have any awesome Bob stories?
No, I don't, and I don't have anything that can follow the story Joey just told.
That's fair. Jeez, hey. Joey.
But, I mean, come on.
Come on, what?
Okay, all right. we all swear when we're kids. Like, it's not a big deal. Or are we still thinking about the other thing?
The other thing. Clearly, the other thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay. I mean, you're a kid. Like,
when's the
know
first
what
time
saying?
You swore that you got in trouble for?
Hmm.
Can we swear on the show?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, whatever.
I don't remember.
I think I said fucking. The first time I got in trouble, I said fucking. My parents had picked me up after a week of Boy Scout camp. My first week of Boy Scout summer camp.
Yeah.
Spent a week with the dudes playing cards and shooting the shit. Picked up a couple of superlatives. And I got in the car, and one of the first things my parents said was, "So, how was it?" And I just went, "Man, fucking awesome."
Oh, man.
And I immediately started sweating, realizing I was going to get the crap kicked out of me for using that kind of language. It was not acceptable at that time.
Yeah. I remember as a kid, somewhat naively believing, I was like, swearing. I'm never going to swear.
Oh, great.
That's just people who can't express themselves right. I don't ever have to do that. But then I forgot that swearing is fucking fun as hell. You know what I mean? It fucking feels great.
It's just great language.
Do you remember the first time you got in trouble?
I don't remember the first time I got in trouble, no. And because you know this, because English was like, you know, second language for my folks.
Yeah.
So even stuff like hell, crap, it's just, you know.
I couldn't say sucks for the longest time. I'd have
my
to
mom
say
didn't care.
Stinks.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mom didn't care about, like, sucks.
That sucks. Can't say that. That stinks.
Well, it was weird, too, because I was a real foul-mouthed. Oh, you know, you know what? No, Dez, I remember now.
Yeah.
One of my earlier memories, I was over at my friend's house, and my friend, don't remember his name, was, I realized now, they were a Mormon family,
mm-hmm.
Okay? And we were playing computer games, and at some point, I was like, let's kick their butts. And then Dad was like,
"Oh no,
we don't use that kind of language in this house.
You can't say." Okay.
I was like, "What?
I won't judge."
And I was like, "Okay." I still remember that. I still remember getting chewed out by someone else's dad for saying the word "butts."
You don't remember the name of your friend?
Kyle.
There you go.
Yeah.
Sweet. I was like, "Man, you don't remember your friend?
Butts."
You're such a renegade, Freddie.
How's that bad?
You're such a renegade.
Whoa,
that's not bad at all.
But the kid, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't imagine growing up in a household where you can't say butts.
Sounds like Ned Flanders.
To be honest, totally.
Yeah,
a little bit. But yeah, like absolutely. And it was like, it was a lot of DOS games, and it was like stuff where I couldn't even comprehend what was going on.
They play games a lot. Are we still talking about Mormons? They have family night, game night
they
stuff,
do.
Right?
They do, actually. Yeah. They're single-handedly bringing back board games in a big way.
That's cool.
Butts.
Love it.
Don't Joey, say that,
what,
though.
What
Joey Butts is inappropriate.
Yeah, sorry. We don't use that kind of language on this podcast, Joey. What kind of what were you not allowed to say? Like, obviously, you know, the major.
I mean, the C word is still just bad word. I won't even say that.
I don't even think my parents know what that is.
Yeah, that's good. Obviously, I wasn't allowed to say retard. You know, like, that was, like, really frowned upon.
Interesting.
In the house, retard was a word that you just don't use around, you know, my mom. And she had always told me, like, be nice to everyone, no matter who they are, no matter what they, you know, mental capacity, obviously myself would be included in that. So
don't sell yourself short, Joey.
Well, I had a car seat story with my mom where it's like the dropped on your head, but with a car seat and a engine block.
Wait, what?
So
wait, no.
Do I have to, I got dropped on my head a little bit with a car seat.
Wait, what?
With a car seat?
Yeah.
You were in a car seat.
I mean, I feel like, now looking back, I'm like, well, maybe that makes me such a quirky guy, because I usually just think a little bit lower in my own path, right? I think on my own terms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you doing this weekend, Joey?
I guess we're going to go to the flea market. Yeah.
Oh,
maybe see us if you're in the area. We're
Melrose,
bopping around the Rose Bowl. It's the second
Rose Bowl.
Weekend
of
the month.
Yeah.
So that's a big one. That's definitely going
to
happen.
I went to a flea market, the Melrose one, a couple weeks ago. And
what did you think?
Well, there was a guy selling vintage video game stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you're walking by and it's like, okay, posters, carpets, furniture. And it's just like, Nintendo, NES, Atari. And I was just like, how do you sell anything to anybody? Because like, if anyone cares about that stuff at all, they could just buy it online. I mean, it's like, right. You can just get that stuff on eBay or online. Just so much easier and cheaper. But the guy was just chugging along, man. That was cool.
Maybe he's got a passion.
That's what I'm going for. I'm actually looking for old Super Nintendo games when I go.
Oh, well, there you go.
That's going to be my objective
this week.
Which
one? What are you looking for?
Well, Turtles in Time we owned and got stolen from us.
Whoa.
I'm going to rebuy. I'm going to
replace that. Sure.
Turtles in Time. That's what I'm going to search
for. Nice.
What was your favorite old school SNES game?
That was it.
Turtles in Time?
Yeah.
They got stolen?
Sewer surfing. Are you kidding? That was like one of the best levels ever.
Yeah.
One of the greatest video game soundtracks, too.
Yeah.
There was a game called Pocky and Rocky. Oh, no, sorry. It was that. It was hard. It was a fun game. But there's a game called Legend of the Mystical Ninja.
Okay.
Which is just the like one of the weirdest games ever.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find it for so long. So like, I remember renting it from like Blockbuster when I was a kid and playing it and being like, that's a weird game, even as a kid. And then later on being like, was that a dream or was that a real game? And I looked it up and finally, like, I had to like, I spent all this time searching for it and I finally found it. And I got it. Actually, I got it in the, it's in the tub over there.
Is it really?
It's a weird game.
Okay,
dude.
I'm down.
Anyway, yeah. But Dez, weekend plans?
I'm going to, I have a lot of work to do this weekend, so I'm going to lock myself.
I have to return some videotapes.
I have to return some videotapes.
I'm actually going to Palm Springs.
Nice.
I'm going to go stay in the mountains for the weekend and just work on some stuff and get out of town.
Sick. Yeah. A little soul searching.
A little soul searching, a little staycation.
Good times. Awesome. Good times.
Yeah. I'm jealous.
I'm actually up in Seattle for a day because, you know, so we've been talking about this for a while, but Matt's really into these geek chic tables. They make really good gaming furniture. And as part of the Hulu show, we're like, we need to get a table for the office. That's definitely part of the Hulu show, right? Right, guys? Yeah? Yeah? Okay, we bought a table. We're going up there to pick it up.
The gaming table is necessary.
Well, no, it's necessary. It's going to be a big part of the show. you watch because you watch.
Oh, I know.
And we're getting a table. And we're getting a table and driving it down. And we're going to play all these tabletop games on, guys. It's going to be great.
So are you flying up and then driving back?
I'm flying up and driving back. Matt, with his crippling fear of flying, is just driving up and driving back.
What
down.
Is that? Is that like a 36-hour haul?
He's left as of 20 minutes
He already
ago.
Left.
I love
he left
that,
for Seattle.
I love that you let him go by himself.
No, he's going
there's
Nate.
No
he's
way
going
in
Nate.
Hell
Nate's
you're
going
to sit in the car for two trips.
No. he's Nate's with him.
Okay.
Nate's getting real good documentary
Oh, that's
footage.
Riveting. Just Matt.
Yeah.
By himself.
Yep.
How do you like
on the road?
The thought that you get to just sleep in your own bed tonight and just show
we're
up
talking,
in Seattle?
We're talking quality programming here, boys.
Ladies and gentlemen, well, because Matt's gonna be unhinged, man. You want a camera in there. You know what I mean? Like, that's
what
you want.
Think so.
I think so. I think it'll be some real good footy coming out of that one.
How's the weather? Is it going to be raining?
No.
I drove through the night over, you know, into Oregon, and it was scary. It was scary. It was kind of a scary drive.
April showers bring May flowers, baby.
Just through the, you know, the Shastas and the...
Yo, Shasta's scary, man.
Yeah, it was a scary road.
Yeah. Yep, gonna be up in Seattle. Gonna just pick up a table and my buddy's motorcycle and bring him back down.
Oh, you're getting a motorcycle?
Yeah, the motorcycle.
Yeah, man.
All right.
Hey, Tuna.
You didn't mention the
dude,
motorcycle.
Tuna. Pound
it. Now you're down with it. The thing that could kill me.
Yeah.
Well, we don't want that. Come on, man. Why'd you get all morbid on us?
Life expectancy will drop by, like, 1,000% if you ride a motorcycle. So
wait. 1,000. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Life expectancy will drop by 1,000. I was like trying to put that.
Yeah, I know. I said that weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
It happens.
I mean, you know, look. I don't know. I'll be careful.
Things to do in the future. BattleBots as a company.
Yep.
We should schedule a sort of either easy rider trip out on our motorcycles
I'd go
Mardi Gras.
We need like
you.
Orange County Choppers to.
Yeah.
Let's do
Orange
it.
County Choppers needs to build rocket jump a sweet chopper, a rocket jump.
Ooh. I'm gonna be totally honest. I want a motorcycle with a sidecar, just because. Okay. Like, right? Like a sidecar. But that here's the thing: like, I realized when you have a motorcycle with a sidecar, you don't need a motorcycle license. You can just operate that right now.
No,
because it's a three-wheeled vehicle. It's not a motorcycle license for two wheels.
That's street legal.
Bad,
that's street legal.
Full
on street legal.
Such a bad rule.
Like, you could just straight up, like, if you have, you can
the worst law.
Getting a motorcycle license and doing all the motorcycle
sound
training.
Like that should be a thing.
With just a sidecar.
I call BS. I feel like that's
100% true.
I think that's a state.
I believe it. I don't think it's. Because
different
states, I don't know. Maybe it's perfectly safe. What the hell do I know about sidecars?
Crap.
Yeah. No. Well. Anyway, sidecar. How sweet would that be? Anyway.
Sure. Last thing we should do as a company: Baja.
Okay.
Okay.
Done.
Cool. I want to do a Disneyland trip. Actually,
that's just going to happen.
Sure, we'll do that too.
That's easier. That's the easiest.
All right,
let's do that first.
Anyway, let's finish it up here. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Squarespace, for sponsoring the podcast. Check out the Ball Pit video. Just drop whole cool behind the scenes right there. And a quick little shout out, of course, to Hewlett-Packard HP. They provided us with some Z840 workstations to get that video done. Very helpful for the post-production process.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Check us out. Rocket Jump Tweet. Oh, Twitch. We're gonna start doing some Twitch stuff. So if you go to twitch.tv/rocketjump, subscribe to us there. You're going to let us know. We've been doing some game stuff, and we have some really fun ideas for what we're going to do on that. So for those of you who are fans of like watching game stuff, twitch.tv/rocketjump, we're just getting that going. It'll be a lot of fun. Yeah. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Benji, podcast
Thanks,
producer.
Benji.
Well, see you guys next week. We got a lot of stuff coming. Oh, I'm just thinking about all the work we have to do for this Hulu show.
I know. It's a bit daunting.
Thanks it for is. Having me on. Sorry if I sucked the air out a little bit with that weird...
No, wish. Joey, you're always a pleasure. Yeah. Always a pleasure.
Joey's the dream comes true, man, every time.
Thank you, Joey. Check out Joey's podcast. It's called A Long Walk with Mike and Joey. Fantastic podcast. iTunes, SoundCloud. And if you haven't subscribed to us, subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave a review. It's very helpful. Thank you very much. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.